Now it is. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that. But how sad it is that when we have everything that the Lord offers us, how sad it is that we don't put it to use. How sad it is that people would go off and take little children, you know, thank God there's only 13 of them, but 13's too many, little children and adults, and they leave a message that says, you know, we're going, and we're going to go see our families. There's something terrible coming, and we're just going to get there first. Oh, I pray that they find them alive, but if they don't, Lord, I'm so sorry, because they just don't know any better. And why they don't know any better, I have no idea. But the truth of the matter is that there are multitudes of people that don't know the Word of God, that don't seek God, that don't move into the truth, that are not built up in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but are weak and perishing. The Bible says that there are many that are just that way. They're weak, and there's no excuse to be weak in the Lord if we will seek the Lord. I told John this morning that I came over and I envied him because he rode his motorcycle in. I have to tell you, I'm hooked. You know? And yesterday I really got some encouragement because I saw a guy. Yesterday Vicky was doing something, and so I went over and I see this guy, and this guy was telling me, boy, the worst I ever rode in was about 4 inches of slush. And I'm going, you can do that? Wow, that's an encouragement. That means, you know, that maybe I'd never have to put it away or winterize it. I can just ride it if I have enough clothes on. I was thinking yesterday as I rode over to Pier, hey, this isn't bad. People get a lot colder snowmobiling. And my wife was looking at me funny. You're riding alone, son. That's okay. But I am, and I have to tell you something. I spent 1 hour headed to Pier yesterday, and I praised and shouted and talked to the Lord all the way. I mean to tell you, I just said, Lord, make sure that I pay attention to things on the road. This is just awesome. I was telling my nephew about this, and, you know, I said, here I am. I'm 57 years old, and I have a hobby. And he said, Uncle Roger, the interesting thing about that is that you have a hobby that doesn't detract you from God. It brings you closer to God. I said, man, you ain't kidding. I just shout. Vicky can tell you sometimes, I don't know if she knows what I'm doing, but sometimes we're riding down the road, and all of a sudden I'm just, yeah! Throwing my fist in the air and praising the Lord because I've heard something from God. Yesterday, when I was riding, the Lord gave me, you love me, you love me, you love me. Now I see that there's not one thing in this whole world you wouldn't do for me. And I thought, yeah. And then he reminded me of Abraham. And when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, he said, stay your hand. Now I know that there's nothing you wouldn't do for me. I say, I don't know why you know that, Lord, but there must be something that's bigger than I realize. So I'm shouting again. And it's awesome because what the Lord, no matter what we do, if we will do it heartily as unto the Lord, He will help us. And on Wednesday when we talked about confidence, the very thing that Vicky said, you know, your confidence can shake a little bit. Just like when we talked about faith and trust. Trust will keep you going when your faith has lost sight of what's going on. When you're beginning to think, I just don't have the faith, your trust that God does can keep you going. So faith and trust are a combination punch, and so are confidence and endurance. See, that's what gets us through. When Vicky was saying, you know, if you just keep going, you just keep holding on, it's endurance that keeps you holding on. A person can have all the confidence in the world to go out and run, but they better have some endurance too. Because if the hill starts to get steep, your confidence is going to go, whoops. If the wind blows in your face, your confidence can go, ooh, can I do this? But your endurance can kick in and just keep you going. You can do this thing. And the Spirit of the Lord gives us the strength to endure. Speaking of my nephew, I can remember when they used to come to visit, and Dave and I and my nephew would go running. Well, my nephew would take off like a rabbit, way out ahead of the old guys. And after a while, the old guys would still be running, then the nephew would be walking along the side of the road, the tortoise and the hare. We would just keep right on going. And many times, in fact, most times, we would say, Martin, go ahead, you go on back home. Don't keep coming, you know, because his confidence was great, but his endurance wasn't quite there. And as soon as he got tired, then that ran out. Well, now he runs marathons and does many triathlons. He's doing well, thanks to us encouraging him. But in the confidence, it said, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. And then Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, the thing is when you've done the will of God, we do the will of God because we have confidence in God. But then we need to have endurance so that once that we've done it, we'll stand. Having done everything to stand, stand therefore, because we have the endurance to keep going. People would like to lose the weight that they've gained over 30 years in about 15 minutes if they could do it, right? Isn't that true, Sue? If you could get that done, you know, you've testified about that. It would be hallelujah, you know? It doesn't work that way. Or people would like to have their debt canceled that they spent 50 years creating, and they would like to have it just turn around. Well, they might have to change what they do. They might have to change how they do things. They might have to have some endurance. But after you've done the will of God, after you've taken the first step, okay, this, whoever put this here, you took the first step. Now have the endurance and the confidence to know that's taken care of. Everything doesn't change in a moment. But we can change in a moment. We can put our confidence in God. We can do, like Vicki said, you know, don't have confidence in yourself. You can't do anything, but with Him you can do all things. And the confidence that we have in Him then will always turn us in, and that will give us the endurance to go on. Revelation says that those who endure to the end will receive the prize. Jesus, you know, I was thinking about this. You remember there was that song that said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden along with the sun. Everybody singing, there's got to be a little, okay. You know, I mean, God didn't promise us a rose garden. Jesus said you'll have tribulation, but hey, hoot your way through it. Shout your way through it. Praise your way through it. Rejoice your way through it, because I've overcome the world. And endurance can continue to say, I've overcome the world. We can't place our confidence, you know, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our confidence is always in the Lord. We always return to the Lord. Here's the deal, folks. The Beatles sang a song that said, the best things in life are free, you know. And it's true. The pleasure that we get from the Lord's presence costs nothing. But if we base our pleasure even on the Lord's performance, guess what? We're going to spend a lot of time, I just don't know why the Lord's doing this. I just don't know why things are this way. But if our hope is in His presence, then we've always got that place to go. And in His presence is pleasure forevermore. If we are a Christian, then we have a pleasant place. And we need to repent if we won't go to the present place. Well, why should we repent? Well, because if we're not trusting, if we're doubting, we need to repent. I woke up very early yesterday and just felt that I was going to be determined to stay in bed. And I'm so glad that I did, because sometimes, you know, I wake up, I look at the clock, and sometimes I will take the times and then I will search the scriptures to find out what those times are in the scriptures. And I found some interesting things, but the thing is that when I first woke up, it was about 5:30, and I said, nah, I'm just going to lay here. And between 5:30 and what time did I finally, I don't remember when I finally got up, but between the time, that time and the time that I got up, I had so many things that the Lord had shown me at different times that I woke up. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every time we do something, but there's something in the Word of God if we will look at it. And one thing about it was is that, like, Matthew 5 is a warning to get sin out completely. And it goes on to talk about divorce and the absolutely get it out, removing ourselves from the presence of the Lord, divorcing ourselves. See, we are called the bride of Christ, and there are things that separate us from God. And those things we need to get out. But another thing that I saw was, it was like a very, very thin, gray film. I realized then that it was a curtain, and I was trying to find my way through the curtain, through the folds in the curtain, to get to the place where I could see where it was, and I was being very careful about it, and suddenly there was like a place to peek in, and the Lord reminded me of a time back not that long ago when He said, don't peek into the kingdom of God, run into the kingdom of God. There is no veil anymore. But the enemy puts up a veil. The enemy makes it seem as though we have to peek in. The enemy makes it seem as though we really can't go in. It's the enemy that does that work. And so oftentimes here we are Christians, we are in the kingdom of God, and we're trying to peek in to see what the Lord has done. And we're frustrated, and I was getting frustrated. I can remember as I was digging through the folds, I was getting frustrated that I couldn't find the opening. Have you ever seen anybody behind a curtain, and you see the curtain bouncing here and bouncing there and bouncing here and bouncing there until finally they get through the middle of the curtain? Sometimes it's an act, and sometimes it's just a fact. Sometimes it's to get a little humor going to the people that are out there early on, and some of it's just because they can't find their way through. There's way too many Christians that do not find their way through because we are being convinced that there's still a veil. And then the Lord reminded me of Israel. And they talk about Israel, and they said, to this day, when the book of Moses is read, there's a veil that comes over the face of Israel and over the Jews so that they can't see the truth. And what happened when God brought Israel to the promised land was that they tried to peek into the promised land instead of going into the promised land. And the people, why did Joshua send in spies, or why did Moses send in spies? Well, he sent in spies, I think, because the people were going, boy, I don't know if we should go or what we should do or if this is going to be all right. And Joshua and Caleb and 10 others went in and they peeked into the promised land. And 10 of them came back with a disheartening peek. And 2 of them came back with a, we can do this thing and it's worth the effort. Let's go now. The kingdom of God was never intended to be a democratic society. It was intended to be a theocratic one under the leadership of the Lord God. What did the Lord God tell Moses to do? This is the promised land. You all go in. 12 spies went in, and 10 said, it's nice to peek at, but we can't do this. 2 believe the Lord God. If two or more agree as touching anything, why didn't they take that? And because they didn't go, the Lord said, fine. Everybody that decided to vote on this and vote not to go in, you die here. Everybody that votes to go in, you're going in too. Don't peek into the kingdom of God. Run in. But we must have endurance. We must have endurance, and that endurance is based on the promises. This is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know that He hears us. But now then, we need endurance. The Apostle Paul said, okay, I don't run this race fruitlessly, and I don't fight as one beating the air. Those of us who are old enough or those who have watched the reruns on TV, remember when Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay. And either way, he used to do a thing, they called it rope-a-dope, and he would just lean against the ropes and let people swing at him. Now, obviously, a few of them hit him. It ended up scrambling his brains. But he did that thing, and he would let, most of the time they were missing him. He would bob, and he would weave, and they'd be swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging. And his endurance and his conditioning was such that he just kept on going. And when they were all worn out, he would throw about 500 punches in 30 seconds, and he'd win the fight. Because what they did was they wore themselves out just beating the air. A lot of Christians wear themselves out by not having themselves built up in endurance and trying to throw a punch here and throw a punch there and throw a punch here and throw a punch there. Not having the word engrafted, but just trying to repeat things that they've heard. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to speak the word. But it must be engrafted. We must have confidence when we sow it. And we must combine that confidence with endurance that says, okay, it's finished. Jesus hung on the cross, folks, and he said, it is finished. To the natural eye, yep, it's finished, all right. He's gone. It's over. We're all done. What are we going to do now? The religious folks that wanted him dead said, woohoo, we win. But just in case, somebody guard the tomb. The disciples said, ooh, he promised. He promised. Now, you have to think that in the midst of that, when they all got together, that there were some people who were starting to operate a little bit in endurance and saying, well, we could hold on just a little longer. You know, he did mention 3 days. Come on. We can hang in there for 3 days. Come on. You can handle 3 days, can't you? Yeah. Yeah, we can handle 3 days. Yeah, we can handle 3 days. He said 3 days he'd write. Yeah, we're going to stand on that. We're going to hide in here while we're standing on it, but we're going to stand on that. You know? Yes, we're confident. Just don't tell too many people. You know, I mean, you just don't know for sure, but we'll be here. We'll be confident here. You know I'm standing on a rock. Hallelujah. And on the third day, a few of them snuck out to peek. And the girls came and said, guess what? He's gone. And the guy said, well, I'm going to go see. Where'd he go? But ultimately, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And for the promises of God, he endured to the end. And to us, he said, listen, I won't leave you helpless. I won't leave you orphans. The Father will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one to come along and help. The Holy Spirit has all the endurance that any of us need. But we need to depend upon him. So we have confidence in the Lord. And because we have confidence in the Lord, then we speak the word with boldness. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And when our confidence goes, whew, it ain't looking so good, our endurance says, we can do it. Not we, but God. God can do this thing. We can do it. What can I do? How can I do this? What what must I do? Well, you know, to do the word of God builds your endurance. Just like to lift the weights builds your strength. To run the miles builds your endurance. To do those things that the word of God says. To sow, to reap, to pray, to give yourself, to give your time, to do those things. And after we've sown those things, no, there's a harvest that is coming. There's a confidence in God's ability that will then kick us in. Listen, folks, we all fall off. We should never plan to fall off. We should never make excuses for falling off. We should never make any arrangements for it. We shouldn't make reservations for the fall off spot. You know? We shouldn't have a, well, they'll be here just in case, you know? We shouldn't do that. We should plan to win. We should plan to keep going. We should plan for our endurance to kick in. But if we do, we should get up and keep going. I have to tell you, at the last volleyball games, I watched, and I attribute the confidence to Christ in my daughter. But I watched her do something that we all need to be able to do. She's been having a pretty good thing going on with her serving and stuff, and it came up to a time where she was going to serve, and I think not only I, but a whole bunch of people in the stand said, oh good, we got it won now. And Rachel served it right into the net. I loved the fact that she just smiled and came off the court. And when she got back in again, she did 20 things. Far greater than she would have if she had served that. But you see, the thing was, is that she held fast her confidence and she knew with her endurance that she could go back up, and she got right back into it again. This is how we have to be as Christians. I say this as lovingly as I possibly can, but I have to tell you that if you are a whining Christian, you need to get over it. Because there's no excuse for whining, and there's no excuse for getting caught up in other people's whining. It's like getting caught up in somebody's gossip. One sin's as big as the other. And we need to quit that, because there's no endurance, there's no confidence, there's no nothing in that. There's nothing to get us ahead. God's got all kinds of sympathy for us, but he doesn't need us trying to bleed it out of him. He knows. He knows, but he also knows if you'll just take your confidence and add a little endurance, you'll win. Everything, all the promises of God may start the moment we pray, but they don't all manifest. Anybody know that to be true? Anybody willing to acknowledge that there's a whole lot of things that fight against it? But the thing is, oftentimes we suddenly pray about something, we've been messing it up for so many years, and it's supposed to change in a moment. Sometimes it does. You know? People have been healed of lung cancer just like that after they tried to kill themselves for so many years. But, okay, God's grace is sufficient. He just does it. And other people die. And the people who get healed don't know why they got healed. And the people who have people die don't know why they died. But this is our confidence. God's still good. endurance. You need endurance so that after you've done the will of God, some people have not done the will of God whatsoever, and they all of a sudden want the promises of God to just manifest. And then some people get mad because they do just manifest when somebody hasn't. You know, somewhere along the line in my first 30 years, I did some things that might have been godly. I might have done a nice thing. I might have said a nice word. I know I helped people. I know I was a hard worker. I practiced some of the principles of the Bible. But let's face it, for him to just forgive me just because I asked him to was crazy. But it didn't bother him. And he's no less faithful today than he was then. But our confidence has to be such that, hey, we trust God. And he said, have faith in God. He said, in your patience, possess your souls. In other words, in your patience, experience life. That doesn't mean that we have to go, oh, I've made such a mess of things either. It means we have to say, yep, I made a mess of things. Praise God. It's over now. We're going forward. Running into the kingdom of God. Nothing's going to stop me. There's no stopping me now. I'm all done worrying. I'm all done whining. I'm all done with all that kind of stuff. And I've got me some endurance now. And I will see. I will behold the glory of God. In fact, I'm beholding it right now. There is pleasure in God's presence. You know, sometimes pleasure will do you a lot of good. Pleasure is really nice. And his presence is more than enough pleasure no matter what. Now, you don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. That's entirely up to you. It's always a choice. But I'm telling you that this is true. And when there's a pleasant place and we won't go to the pleasant place, whose fault is that? If we determine to hang around outside in the wilderness instead of going into the promised land, whose fault is that? If we decide to say, well, it might look good, but I don't know if that'll work for me, whose fault is that? If we're waiting around for somebody else to make it all better, when God's saying, come unto me, you who are weak and heavy laden. Hey, there's no doubt God uses people on occasion. But he can't use people till he's got our attention. Until he's got us putting all of our trust and all of our hope and all of our faith in him. Until he's got us going, endurance. I got endurance. Where do you get your endurance? I got the Holy Ghost and power. I got the presence of God. Whoa! Is it a pleasant place? Man, oh man, oh man. Anybody ever spent time in an unpleasant place and just stayed in the unpleasant place? And what's really funny is sometimes we're in an unpleasant place and we're blaming other people for our unpleasant place. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And it's their fault I'm in this place. We put ourselves in prison, lock the door, and throw the key out of reach and say it's somebody else's fault. Isn't that silly? It's no wonder God gets a giggle out of us sometimes. The interesting thing is, you know, we can lock ourselves in the prison, throw the key way out of reach, and if we'll just say, Holy Spirit, I've reconsidered. Would you perhaps bring me the key? I think I'm ready to get out of this place. Because God will lead us in a way that we don't understand. Look at Peter. The angel had to kick him, smote him. Since he's laying down sleeping, you know, maybe he reached down and tapped him, but it says he smote him. He smote him. His chains fell off. He led him out through the first gate, through the first bars, through the next door, through that. And finally, when they went out the main gate, Peter goes, whoa, this isn't a dream. This is the real thing. And he went on home instead of turning around and going back in. I mean, after all, you just think about that. Why? If they caught him out there, they could arrest him and he'd be in worse trouble. No. He did this wise thing. He went. He left. It's a good idea for us to leave. Leave the unpleasant place. Get into the pleasant place with the Lord. Acknowledge that for a good portion of things, we're just a tiny bit negligent. When Martin Arnold was telling me about a guy that had a motorcycle accident over by Pier, he was a guy that was 4,000 miles into a 10,000 mile trip when somebody pulled out in front of him and he drove his gold wing right halfway through the car. And the guy said, he said, I was a bit negligent too. I had just set the cruise control and entered the zone. He was just enjoying the ride. When he had the accident. So he acknowledged that he was involved too, and he was really happy to praise the Lord that he had survived. We need to acknowledge, you know, the guy wasn't saying, oh, that stupid person that pulled out in front of me. The guy was saying, I was in a zone. I never saw him. One thing that driving a motorcycle has done for me, I find that I even watch cars more when I'm in a vehicle. I'm aware of about everything. And now every time when I go past the blunt junction and somebody stopped at the stop sign, I give them a thumbs up. Thank you very much. I give big smiles and say, God bless that person. All the way up there, I was saying, God, keep that person where they belong. Keep that person where they belong. But if I'm gawking, I need to recognize, whoa, Lord, I'm gawking. I need to be paying attention to what I'm doing. And in our walk with the Lord, we need to be paying attention to what we're doing. We need to recognize how we got, where we got, if we got in a prison. And then we need to say, okay, that's good. Nothing's impossible for God. We can fix this now. We got to have the endurance so that when we've done the will of God, you see, it's when we've done the will of God, then we can receive the promise. So endurance involves doing the will of God and waiting upon the Lord and planning for the promise. Confidence and endurance, a combination punch. It's a good combination. And so as the Lord says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which is of a great reward. For you have need of endurance to go along with your confidence, so that after you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for confidence in you, confidence in your ability, and endurance to stand. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with a greater and greater awareness, which gives us greater and greater confidence and endurance that we might receive your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.